Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
Welcome to the Manchester Football Social. It is the Full-Time Devils Takeover, and today we are with Webby. Hello, Webby and Shay. Might have said hello, gentlemen.
Hi, mate. You okay?
You're going to be with me till 7 o'clock today. Now, normally this is streamed on YouTube, but we're not streaming on YouTube today. We are just doing the podcast only. It doesn't mean, though, we don't want your calls. 0345 111 7625. Come and chat Manchester United for the next hour with me, Jay and Webby. Some talking points for you today. Well, Mourinho has had a little interview, and we're just going to dissect that and see what comes out of it. Has he said anything about Manchester United? Well, we'll let you know. He has said he doesn't want to retire just yet. So where do you think he could get a job at? At what kind of level do you think Mourinho would manage now? Because obviously he didn't go too well the last two jobs, sacked by Chelsea and sacked by Manchester United. And we're also going to be looking at the January transfer window, players that could potentially go out on loan, players that are coming to the final year of their contract at United that we need to start signing up soon. Because now, in the final contract in January, other clubs can come and sort of throw the cash at them and try and lure them away from Old Trafford. 0345 111 7625. Get your calls in nice and early and we can have a chat with you for the next hour, as well as trailing ahead to our game on the weekend against Brighton. Gents, right, he's still with us, the one and only Jose Mourinho.
It's been a while.
Jay, I don't think we've had you on the show since he was let go, sacked.
No.
So your thoughts on Mourinho, and then we'll get into what he said today, what he said yesterday on an interview. Were you sad to see him go?
I'll own man's up, because it'd be silly for me to suddenly pretend that I always wanted him to go, because I didn't. I thought if we stuck with him, he'd come good. Looks like I was wrong. I mean, straight away we've seen the effect that Ollie's had, so there's no denying that. I just thought that Mourinho, after his first couple of seasons, I thought he deserved a bit of time. I thought he deserved maybe to end the season, but it was obvious. It's obvious now. I think the one point where I couldn't defend him was the Liverpool game. I remember I was watching a screening of that in town, and I bumped into a mate of mine who's proper anti-Jose. And I had nothing to say. I had nothing to sort of stick up for him for. So I think the timing probably was right. But with Jose, I think everyone will focus on the negative. They'll focus on the fact that United are looking so much better without him now. But let's not forget, this is a guy that delivered trophies and he completed the set. And I'll always be grateful for that night in Stockholm. And an amazing night. We lifted Europa. We got into the Champions League. It was a fantastic night. It wasn't a complete disaster under Jose Mourinho. Let's not forget that. And I wish him well. I do.
So, Jose Mourinho got interviewed yesterday, Webby. Now, we had a look over this. If you're completely new to this interview that he had, he went into a bit of a detail about him himself, not particularly about Manchester United. We all say that there may have been a golden handshake, yes, which may have stopped any slagging off of Manchester United.
That handshake was golden.
It was an expensive golden handshake. So what we've got in this interview, Webby, we haven't got too much of a direct swipe at Manchester United, but he's quite clever, isn't he, Jose? He's done other stuff to have a swipe at United. Should we get into one of the clips we want to play you? This is a clip when Jose Mourinho was interviewed yesterday about players becoming bigger than the football club.
Depends on the club, and depends the way the club looks at it. I remember, for example, and probably you do because we are speaking about such an amazing manager, One day, I think it was when Manchester United sold David Beckham to Real Madrid. I think it was that period, if I'm not wrong, but the phrase I kept with me, the biggest one in the Premier League, Sir Alex Ferguson, told, the day a player is more important than the club, goodbye. Not anymore. Not anymore, because there are many things behind that is difficult to create a situation so linear that as this one. So I think the way to do it is for the players to find a certain balance, and the balance has to be created in the relation between the players and the manager. The manager is there to coach them. The manager is not there to keep the discipline at any cost. The structure must be made. The structure must be there to protect the manager and for the players to feel that everything is in place and they are not going to arrive into a situation where they feel more powerful than they used to be.
So, he mentions that the David Beckham scenario, where the player got bigger than the club, it's time to go. Which made a lot of United fans think he was speaking about a relationship with Paul Pogba. Do you believe that's what he was sort of alluding at, Jay? The Pogba-Mourinho relationship, the media hyped it up as if it was Pogba versus Jose.
Oh, 100% I think that's what he's alluded to. I think as we were all saying just before we came on air that there was it's sort of common knowledge, isn't it? That there was a golden handshake that he can't really say too much about what went on behind closed doors at United or the way that he left. But we know that Paul Pogba and Jose Mourinho didn't get on. We know that was a major issue, and we know it cost United this season, and we've seen the effects of Paul Pogba coming back into the team, not just coming back into the United team, being played in a role that he likes and enjoying his football and playing for a manager that he gets on with. We've seen the galvanising effects he's had and just the sort of the performances he's been able to put in. So he's obviously alluding to that in the only way he can without being too obvious. So I do have a little bit of sympathy with Mourinho, because it obviously got to the point where he was trying his best. He wasn't getting on with his star player and he just couldn't get a tune out of United. But at the end of the day, his job is to win football matches for United, and he wasn't doing that. So he had to go. And yes, he'll probably be bitter towards Paul Pogba, even more so when he sees the way that Paul Pogba's playing now.
Yeah.
And I get the fact that, you know, you shouldn't let players rule the rules. It should be the club isn't bigger than the player. But I think the problem with Mourinho, it was a case of the manager was becoming bigger than the club. And it can't be like that. Yes, Sir Alex Ferguson was sort of all-powerful, but that's a bit different. And I think with Mourinho, his personality was almost undermining the club at times, and that was the problem. It wasn't just a case of player power. It was also manager power, and a manager that at times seemed a little bit unhinged.
You look there, Webby. You know, he kind of alludes that the player was bigger than the club. Does it worry you anyway that mentality is still with United? So say, for example, Pogba doesn't like Ollie in a couple of years' time, and Ollie may still get a job. Is Ollie gone then and Pogba stays?
I just think it's not just a thing at United. I think the player power now is absolutely huge, you know, to what it was years ago. You know, if a player started making noises, before you know it, he was out of the club. He never played for you again. But they've got that much power now, the players. It's frightening, you know. They can get managers sacked. They did down tools, you know, and that's what I'm more embarrassed about, is that some of these players, we know what they could do. They've proved what they could do in the last six matches. And obviously, Mourinho had a massive problem. I wouldn't just say it was with Paul. I think it was with a few players, you know. Yeah. If you look at the likes of Matic now, you know, he was brought from Chelsea, he was never dropped, but looks a different player now, yeah. under Ole, you know. And you look at Herrera, you know, people keep going on about Pogba's going to get all the credits and so's Rashford, but he's been immense.
He's been absolutely immense,
you know, and he'll get overlooked, and he's one of the players we're going to talk about, you know, and his word that Solskjaer's had a word for him to stay. Now, let's have it right, you know. If you leave Manchester United, in my eyes, you're only going down. You know, for me, no player should be left. If you're playing in that first team squad, you've got something about it. So you should not be left to go into that final year. You look at the main thing of this was McManaman, how he took the mickey out of Liverpool. You know, played for the last year at Liverpool, but couldn't be bothered going into tackles because he didn't want his dream move to Real Madrid going up the wall.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to look at that. I think now, under Fergie, you think if you got below 18 months, you sold you.
Yeah,
you know, so that it's we're going to go on about it.
Yeah, we'll touch upon it later on. So the only other thing I think is when you talk about player power, do you think there's any player power? Well, I hate bringing up the other two that are sitting above us, but in Liverpool and City, that the manager's got it right there, hasn't he? That the player, if he was to throw a paddy, he can get out.
I think that people forget this with Guardiola and Klopp. People think they're like everyone's best mate and they're just constantly putting arms around players and giving them a kiss and a pat on the back and everything's hunky-dory. But they've got a bit of a mean streak in them and they don't take any messing. And we've seen it a little bit with Guardiola. Was it someone which trained? Was it... was it Mendy?
Mendy, at the minute, is still injured.
Had a little bit of a dig at him, didn't he?
And about social media and
There's a little bit of that. And I think that Guardiola can rule with the iron fist when he needs to. And I think Klopp can as well. He's not all the sort of the sunshine he's made out to be. But I think they do it more in private than they do now and again. It's in public. But the thing with Mourinho is he did it constantly in public.
he's just constantly having digs at everyone.
And he made it obvious that which players he wasn't getting on with. Yeah. So yeah, I think there is an element of player power, but I think the managers are in control of it. And I think Ollie's the same. People think he's this kindly, sort of jovial guy who's always smiling.
He's always smiling, everyone's best mate.
But even he said he'll get the air dryer out when he needs to.
I think
the main thing is you've got to keep that sort of thing behind closed doors when you can. And you can't constantly go to the press and keep, or at your press conference, keep alluding to the fact you're not happy with players, which is how he'd become under Jose. It was just getting untenable.
It was. Well, Jose, also in this interview, go and check all the footage out online, but stay with us because we're going to dissect the main parts of it. He talked about the season last year, second place. You know, we came second, was behind City and they were far in front, but he said it was a triumph. If you would have known what was going on behind the scenes, he's not gone into any detail there because of the wonders of the golden handshake, but do you think it was a triumph, second place behind City, 19 points?
Well, it was a very, very poor second behind City. If you've not watched any matches last year and seeing the difference in the two teams, you know, 19 points was probably right, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd beat them in a derby, but if you look at the derby game, we had 15 minutes and we scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
But Jose's not going to... I bet he's dying to come out, because he will be a cut-off mate when this book comes out, you know, and it will
be...
They
might have to keep feeding him money.
You can't say he got the money he needed and he spent it wrong in my eyes, you know.
Well, I think he might be alluding to, in many ways, that transfers weren't always his decision and things like that. Yeah. That's what I think he might be saying. But let's not kid ourselves. Finishing 19 points behind City is never a triumph, regardless of what's gone on behind closed doors. But I think it puts into perspective the quality of that league, because everyone goes on about how amazing City were, but I don't think the league could have been that great if United was still second.
No.
Like, what's that tell you about all the teams that finished behind us? Because United were poor, a bit of a mess from all accounts, even the managers alluding to it. Yeah. So I don't think it was a great league in terms of the history of the Premier League, but I'm sure eventually it'll all come out. And I saw Jose will revel in telling us all.
Indeed it will. Jose's interview has gone on to say he's too young to retire. So he is going to go back into football. If it's up to him anyway, he's got a job. Do you personally believe he'll get... He says he's going at the top. But a comment here from Lee on Twitter says, surely Jose has to go into international management now. He's a good tournament manager. He knows how to win knockout games. So has to step up into the fold. Now, it's not really worked at a club level.
You won't be surprised if he ends up back at Real Madrid and they win the European Cup again. He won't put it past him, you know what I mean? He's got the tools there, you know what I mean? Madrid are getting slaughtered all over. Yeah. He comes in from the kid who's managing now. I forget his name, the kid who's managing our next player. And you won't put it past Jose to come into Madrid round about the end of February there and win the European Cup, because that's what he's made of, you know. Let's see, he's not going to take a... Jose's an international manager. He wants hands-on day by day. I think that international management, it won't work for him. And he will end up at a big club, you know, because at the end of the day, you look at his record, he's a serial winner. Unfortunately, it never worked out for us in the last year, but he will get a top-notch job.
No, I agree. I think Solari's struggling at Real Madrid. And I think that people sort of act as though Jose Mourinho's completely lost it. Let's not forget the guy won the Premier League, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
He won the Europa League a couple of years ago. He won, all right, the League Cup, not everyone will glamour it. It's a trophy.
Course,
Klopp's dying for a trophy. You know, let's not dismiss it.
Yeah.
He is a serial winner, and okay, he suffers from this third season syndrome, but how many clubs would be happy to have those first two seasons out of him when he wins you things and gets you challenging?
Yeah.
I bet there's almost any club in Europe who's looking for a new manager will have Jose Mourinho on the list.
Indeed you will. So Jose Mourinho, go check out the interview there. He wants to get back into that sort of high level job. Now, we have got a decision to make with Manchester United and Ollie, who's in charge. Let's just, first of all, because we've not really talked about it in the Football Social, reflect on Tottenham's game on the weekend. That was Ollie's first test. As everyone said, it's going to be his first test. It's crunch time. It was one goal, it was only 1-0. But did you think tactically he did it right? He got the win.
Yeah.
100%. You know, if you look at his team now, he's got rid of all the slow players. We're quick Manchester United way, aren't we? We're breaking. Yeah. And the goal summed us up. You know, we won the ball. Do you know what we was talking to my mate there? And I'm not one of his biggest fans, but boy, Jesse Lingard's really impressing me. You know, his energy, he's running, he's finding space, and he deserves that place. And I never thought I'd say that. And like another one, I'm a Fellaini fan. He does what he does, but he's got him out of the door. Once he never played against Reading in the FA Cup, his days were numbered, you know. Yeah. And he seems to have got the slow play. And we're playing quick, Jay, and I'm loving it.
Mate, I mean, you talked a minute ago about almost the unsung heroes, players like Herrera. Yeah. Matic rejuvenated, mm-hmm. and he's given him a job to do. A simple
Philip
job. Phil
Jones.
I won't go that far. still got a moment in him, hasn't he? I remember Harry Kane leaving him dead in the box. But tactically, going back to your question, I think he got it spot on, and everyone goes on about, oh, De Gea kept us in the game, this and the other. We were winning 1-0. We're defending a lead. If it was 0-0, it'd be different. We'd be chasing more of the game. It'd be torn to a throw. Let's not forget, Lloris wasn't sat on his line having a kip. Nope. He kept them in it as well.
He kept them.
And they were, you know, they were behind. So I think tactically he got his spot on. He looked at a weakness. He exposed it. We got the goal and we managed to defend it as well. And yes, obviously, they had a lot of shots, but that's part and parcel of football. I remember Fergie years ago going to St. James's. You remember this? We needed to beat Newcastle. We got a 1-0 win. Schmeichel had the game of his life. And I don't remember everyone saying Fergie got it tactically wrong and it was all down to Schmeichel. Yeah. So I think Ole has passed his first test, showed that he can not just get players happy and playing, but actually pick out weaknesses. And I think that week in Dubai, obviously, he did his own work and it paid dividends. And it was a good, solid performance and sort of performances that now, obviously, it's not going to happen. But if he gets a job full time, they're the sort of performances that can help you win titles.
Of course, yeah.
That's the headache that he obviously gave to the United board, Ollie. You know, surely he can
beat
the big
team. I'd love to give them a headache or two, that United board, because what what they'll do, like, don't get me wrong, we was chatting about this. And on our every United fan would love Ole to get the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. If he gets the job, then Phelan has to stay. And Mullenstein comes back in. And he's brought Dempsey back in from his days from over at Mould. He's apparently a great coach. And Carrick's still there. And Kieran McGregor, what was he called?
McKenna's
still there. Yeah. You know, so it bides well for the future. But the thing is, if Ole does get the job, then Mickey Phelan that must stay. And I'd like to see Mullenstein back at the club, because that was another mistake the club made by not keeping him on.
I think the big test is when he loses or when he gets a few results. Say we go out of the Champions League, we get knocked out of the FA Cup, things don't go right, and then he has to rally the troops, he has to change something. Then we see the real test of him, because sooner or later, you can't win every single game, unfortunately. I think at the moment it's great, and I think if you ask any United fan, they're going to want Ole to stay. If come March, he's had a few losses, has he shown that he can turn around? Is he still the right man long term for the job? I personally think that nowadays management has changed a little bit, and I think a part of man management now, it's not like the old days where it was all tactics and it's dishing out shoutings at everyone and the air dryer. I think a lot of it is just getting players together and creating that environment for him, because times have changed. They've moved on, haven't they, a little bit? And if you look at some of the successful managers, they've got a bit of an edge to him, but half the battle is like getting an environment and just letting players almost blossom in it. Mm-hmm. You look at Ranieri when he won it at Leicester, he wasn't tactically a genius, he just got a group of players that were playing well and happy. Mm-hmm. Conte did it at Chelsea, Pellegrini at City. These are sort of the managers who've just got that environment, got the players playing, and it's worked. And I think that's more becoming a sort of, to a lesser degree, we saw it at Southgate with England. I'm not advocating Southgate for United, by the way. You got a group together, let them play, got to the semis, happy days.
You brought up Southgate.
I'm not saying that he should be,
waistcoat. Them rumours soon disappeared. Sky Sports break the news Sunday night. It must have been a slow news day for them. Gareth Southgate's on the shortlist. I don't know. Webby? Southgate?
I'd be in that canal. I swear to God. Yeah, let's have it right. Who did he beat in the World Cup?
Hey, listen, not everyone can get a result against Panama and Tunisia.
Well,
I'll have you know.
That
penalty shootout against Colombia is one of England's highlights.
Oh, well, anyway, I think that sums up what you think about Southgate going to United. Right, we're going to be talking about the January transfer window is open, any movements for Manchester United, and as well.
Where's all the callers?
Oh, mate, listen, we'll get them in. 0345 111 7625.
Stuart must be on cloud 9.
Stuart
in Piccadilly Gardens with 8 bottles of whiskey.
Scottish Stuart, if you're listening, 0345 111 7625, give us a call. This is the Full Time Devils Takeover and we'll be right back after this.
Access Manchester. Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Full Time Devils Takeover. Not streaming live on YouTube today, but on the radio and on the podcast. So thank you very much for downloading and listening to this. And if you listen to it live, come and say hello. 0345 111 7625. Give us a call like Slim has done. And we'll get to Slim in a second. I'm in the studio with Webby. Hello, Darren Webby.
Hello, Joseph.
How you doing?
Yeah,
and
good,
Jay. Man. Jay, how you doing?
Hello, sir. Good. Good.
Are you ready to talk about players who could be going in and out of Manchester United over the next 6 months? It could be happening in January, could even happen at the end of the month. We'll get to that list just after we bring Slim into the chat. Hello, Slim.
How's you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, very well, Slim. Slim, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I mean, first of all, how come you're not on YouTube?
Just manpower, mate, just manpower. Couldn't get it live on YouTube today, but don't worry, next week we'll be back.
Alright, fair enough. Yeah, I was
going to
say, man, good result on Monday, wasn't it? Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, big result on Sunday. Which player stood out for you, Slim?
You know, I've been a very big Pogba critic, but he's doing me nice for the last few weeks. The main concern I have with Pogba, he seems like he's getting better at it, but there's a bit of PSG about him. What I mean about that is, you know, with PSG, because they play in a Champions League, right? But what they have to
Slim, he's just breaking up a tiny bit, mate. Hopefully we can try and get you back on another line and get the producer now just have a quick chat with you. See if we can get you on if you're pulling over for a second. He was just going on about Pogba. A good game on the weekend.
I think was he alluding to the idea that Pogba wasn't playing for the team? Was that what he was saying now? Yeah. I think that's what he might have been saying. I don't know. I mean, Pogba's obviously shining under Ole.
Mm-hmm.
As we know he can do, and he seems to have added a little
happy.
But he's had a little bit consistent. He's had a good game every game, hasn't he?
Do you know what, Jeff?
Which for the first time since he's been United, he's had like 6 good games, whatever it is, on the trot.
Some players like that, they just like their arm put round, you know, a bit of like, you know, come here, son, do this. And I think people like him can bring him on a bit. I may be wrong, you know what I mean? But he's one of those, don't get me wrong, that the ball he played for the goal was
Exquisite.
We all knew what you were going to say.
You know, we can do that. That's in his locker, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great baller, and Rashford's finished. And Rashford looks a new player.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The thing with Rashford, I will say, is Rashford, I thought Rashford played well under for Jose's last few games. I think at Arsenal, and I think the last few games, the other games as well, I thought he did alright. I thought Rashford was playing well, but he's obviously took it to a new level. I think you're right, benefiting from playing under Ollie as well, a striker.
Playing down the middle.
Yeah, who believes in him and can probably give him tips as well that other managers couldn't. And you're going to listen to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he tells you anything about finishing, aren't you?
Of course.
But no, I think Pogba, you're right, he does need that. And I think it's a lot of footballers in general, that's the way it is now. It's not like our day when footballers were sort of, you know, they had all that stuff that went on when you were a youth player and you got battered off the first team and all that, and it was all rough. And now it's a bit more, you have to be a bit more gentle with certain players, and I think they respond better to that. And he's one of them, that Pogba, whatever all he's doing with him, it's working. So I just hope it continues.
Can we just get Slim? Slim, can you try and get your point across about Pogba?
Yeah, I wasn't saying anything bad about him, mate. What I was saying is, you know how with PSG they don't ever have to get out of second gear? That is why I think in the Champions League they don't really get too far. Because they don't have to maintain concentration for 90 minutes in the French League. When it comes to a big game, like for example in the Champions League, we all remember when they collapsed against Barcelona. That's what happened, and that's my problem with Pogba, is that before he would have flashes of brilliance, but he wouldn't be concentrating for 90 minutes, and it's like he never got out of second gear.
Yeah, at that point, mate. Go on, sorry.
Now he's trying for a lot longer, and that's what I want to see from him, because he can beat Burnley and he can beat like Huddersfield all day long in first and second gear. But when it comes to PSG, who we've got in a couple of weeks, or when it comes to the Barcelonas or the Man Cities, we need our best players, and he's one of them, to be concentrating for 90 minutes straight, and that's the only way we're going to win.
Slim.
And I'm seeing up now, so I'm happy with that.
Slim, I get your point. Very well made. Sorry that we jumped to conclusions there, Slim, but make sure you give us another bell another time. Slim making a point that he don't get out of second gear. But now, Pogba is playing like he's shifted it up a gear.
I don't necessarily think he doesn't get out of second gear. I get where he's coming from. I understand that. I think what we saw with Pogba, and we've seen a lot with United, for starters, he's been moved around a lot in positions and the rest of it. He's been asked to do parts of the game that he doesn't enjoy doing defensively, dropping deep. Now he's been given a much more freer role. You've seen, as we were talking about Webby earlier, Herrera and Matic in front of the defence. That's their job. Pogba, go and do what you want, basically. And he's revelling in that and looking at the, alluding to the PSG facts, if we have got a good thing over PSG, I think he makes a good point there, in the sense that they've had it easy in the French league. What are they, 13 points?
Something
13 points clear with a game in hand or two games out, something stupid. Yeah. So they're flying, and like they aren't getting out of second gear. We're having tough games, and even the games that we made look easy, you know, there's no that easy teams in the Premier League this season. People
not in the Premier
that.
League, but if you look at the French league, it's on par with the Gorton Sunday league, isn't it?
No, well, this is
it's
it.
One or two teams, and that's it.
So
you look at the game against the game Liverpool played against Anfield. You know, Liverpool destroyed him.
Yeah,
you know, and people was before the match were saying they can't wait for him to run at him and run at him, and Liverpool just got right into the faces and easily won the game. I know they got the win at the end, but if you watch the match, it wasn't a 3-2 or whatever it was. Liverpool dominated the game, and I think if we go at them,
that's we've got to go at them. We can't let Mbappe and Neymar come at
run at Phil Jones. I'm having nightmares.
We've just got an attack for 90 minutes, man.
0345 111 7625. That's coming in. I'm not looking forward to that. Right, at the start of the season, we went through players who had 1 year left in their contract. Now it's time to revisit that list, as January means that other clubs can approach those players right now and have a chat with them, try and lure them away from Old Trafford, trying to say, do you know what? Like we did with Sanchez last season at Arsenal, they could do exactly the same. Although there isn't a kind of Sanchez type player on this list. Although, well, I mean, that's up for debate, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Ander Herrera is the top one on the list. He doesn't have, because some of these players do have an additional, let's add a year extension on.
Yeah.
But Ander Herrera doesn't. But Jay, you mentioned him before. You've loved seeing him.
I love Ander Herrera. I love everything about him. Honestly, he's like a walking troll. He's just trolling everyone, isn't he? I can't use the word that he does. We all know what it is.
Boiling.
Housery is how it ends. Yeah. He is. But listen, that's all well and good. We don't want Fred the Red out there. We want somebody who can play football, and he can. Yeah. And he can play football, and we've seen it. We know he's always got it in him. And a lot I like about Herrera is he can do the job you ask him to do. Yes. Remember a couple of seasons ago when it was Mark Hazard out of the game? And he did it. When Chelsea were champions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've seen him. He's another one who's shone.
Well,
exactly. Yeah. He was everywhere. Yeah. He's brilliant. I love Herrera, and I think he's shone under Ole. And I think there's absolutely no reason why you'd let him go. Why would you let him go? He's playing every game for you. Why would you want to let him go to another club? Tie him down. I'm guessing he's not going to be on stupid money. He's not going to want 300k a week. Yep. He's not going to want Sanchez money. So just get him nailed down to a long-term contract and keep him at the club.
Mm.
Don't see any reason not to.
Obviously, spot on what Jay was saying. You know, he's thrived under the new manager. You know, when for me, before that, whenever he played the game, he gave you 100%. You know, when he was, whichever position you put him in, he's one of those players there that if you asked him to go in nets, he'd go in nets and do a decent job, you know what I mean? And his heart's in it, he can play the game, he can dish it out when he wants to be, he can be a naughty little kid as well, you know what I mean? He can play the game, come from a great team, you know, who played football, because you all remember that, the game when Bilbao played us off the park over two legs, and he was instrumental in that, you know, so it's impediment that we tie him down, you know, and the word on the street is that Solskjaer, it's not just out of him that he's going to, but we've got to see this out, that he's signed a new contract, because it is worrying, because it wasn't so long ago that Barcelona were looking at him.
Well, you look at him under Ole as well, clubs are going to be looking at him.
Of course,
And the way he's playing at the minute and thinking,
hang on, he's out of contract.
Yeah, well, yeah, I want a bit of that. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Let's go. Juan Mata, again, Spanish mate. He's not got a year extension that could be added onto it. So right now, people could be having a chat with Juan Mata. Do you want to keep him at Old Trafford next year?
I'd keep him. I don't think he'd start a lot of games. I do think he's a great player. But as we said before, Solskjaer seems to be going with pace. And unfortunately, Juan's not. Spanish John has not got a lot of pace, but I know what you're going to say, Jay. He's probably one of the only players we've got who can open that door if it's 0-0 on 70 minutes. He has got that pass. I'd keep him all day long.
It's weird about Mata, and people will laugh at me when I say this, right, but I'll say it anyway. I think Juan Mata could get in City's team. I do. I know you might think, oh, you're off your head, but he's a sort of player that, in a certain system, he's amazing.
Yeah. I know a lot of people will be thinking about your mental. But
well, it is, honestly, I think Juan Mata is better than David Silva. I do, right? Honestly, I'm not having it, right?
No way.
He is.
Are you 100% boiling?
You swap David Silva for Juan Mata and City would have more points than they've got now. I'm telling you, right? He's the best Spanish player in the Premier League. It's simple.
Look at Webby's face. I wish this was being filmed because Webby's face.
He just doesn't fit into the system that we play. But listen, would you let him go for nothing? No, keep him, because if something happens to Lingard or we're playing, you know, the games are coming thick and fast. Yeah. Like you say, you saw it against Juventus. Comes on, changes the game. Changes the game, scores a free kick. You know what I mean? David Silva wouldn't have done that.
Well, there you go. I mean, that was Jay who said it, by the way, not me. Antonio... Right, I'm going to list out some players that have got a one-year extension that could be possibly added to it. Valencia and Jones. We'll start with them two. Valencia, Jones.
What are you saying?
Valencia, I think he's time's up.
Oh, no, both of them for me.
Gone.
Yeah.
I'd get rid of Jones, you know.
What are we waiting for with Phil Jones? Are we still waiting for him to see if he fulfills his potential? He's played about 300 games, man.
He's not played that many.
He's been here for about 9 years, hasn't he?
I remember after his debut or something.
He's going to turn a corner when he turns 30.
I forget who it was. Some local press reporter put, we've just seen the new Duncan Edwards, and I thought,
no.
Duncan Norville.
No, exactly. Hey, seriously. But Fergie said he was United's best ever player. I don't know what that. Not a football.
No,
that was after the fourth bottle of red.
Yeah, I think that's when Fergie was on his retirement phase.
Strong bottle. That
no,
one.
Both of them got a go.
Both of them got right. Damian and James Wilson. I mean, James Wilson.
There's a blast from the past.
I know. He's still at
Aberdeen. Aberdeen. He's at now. Watched him. He had his Van Gaal seemed to fancy him. Didn't he start in front of Rooney? Didn't he in the Liverpool game 3 years back?
Yeah, I think that was one of the rumours. That's one of the reasons. Well, but. Went is because James Wilson was ahead of him in Van Gaal's eyes. I didn't even realise he was still in our book, so that shows
on loan. I think his time's up. I wish him all the best.
I think
his career United's over in my eyes. Damian is the only Italian defender who can't defend.
Do you know what though? Do you not think he gets a bit of stick, Damian?
Whenever he gets picked, social media goes mad, and I think it was all right. When he first signed. The producer would have stopped laughing. he still can't get over your comment.
What matter?
I'm just talking about Dan.
Doesn't matter on this Phil Jones one. Is he going to turn a corner?
Right.
So let's give him another 5 years.
So we're talking Dan in there when he first came into the team, and Shaw before he got that injury. We looked so balanced. And then obviously Shaw got the bad injury, and Van Gaal played him at Arsenal at left back.
Yeah,
and Sanchez just destroyed him.
Career ending, that one.
It was. I wouldn't like to...
But he played in the Europa final, didn't he?
Yes.
Damn, people forget that. He's not had a completely terrible time.
Can't we get a few quid for him? Because he was talking about going back to Italy.
Yeah, there was. Maybe get some money out. Not all of these have to be losses of money, did it? Right, you've got Ander Pereira, who bit by bit is becoming in, but he could possibly have one more year if we extended his contract. I mean, I wouldn't mind just making it extended.
Is it that easy, I think, now, Pereira? And he's 23. Is it this sort of... where it's the sort of Tom Cleverley, Danny Welbeck time where you think, is it going to happen, is it not? And I don't think it is going to happen for him, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong.
Talk of Arsenal. Chelsea looking at him, you know.
Really? That's just a lot of Chelsea. That meant me reconsider that.
When Matic...
It's great to sign him up.
...wasn't doing the pulling the strings like... Pereira would have been great in there for me, you know, but he seems to fit a certain role as well, he seems to be a bit of a jack of all trades to me. He seemed to take the criticism at Brighton like Bailey did, you know, getting hauled off them, we didn't see him for weeks, you know. And he wasn't the only one who had a terrible day that day at Brighton.
I think Pereira as well in pre-season, he shone, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He made everyone look sort of sit up and take notice because he can mix it up and he's got the ability, but... I don't know. I just don't know if it's quite going to happen for him.
That was up in the air. Right, so the last one is he's got no extension to his contract, so he'll either go in or he's signing a new one by the end of this year. Ashley Young.
I like Ashley Young. Yeah. I do. I get a little stick for it. I don't get why people have a problem with him.
Do you keep Ashley Young?
Yeah, for
another
year.
Does a job. Bit of experience, and things have changed.
You're 48. What are you trying to
say? Nothing wrong with that.
You're not playing for Manchester United on the wing.
True.
But
he was he.
But, As Young, though, people might laugh at this as well, but he's one of the few leaders.
Yes.
Yeah, he's,
who would he get in City's team?
No, I'll tell you what, right? I've said this, right? When they won 100 points, you swap Fabian Delph for Ashley Young, they'd have still won 100 points. I'm telling you.
Well, they're not 101.
Yeah, that's it. No, I think Ashley Young does a job. He's a leader. I think he's a positive influence on the younger players. I don't see a problem keeping him around for at least one more year.
Right then, that's the breakdown. They're the ones that United have to sign, or they could be leaving Manchester United. I can see the big ones there, Mata, I'd kind of want to keep it. But Herrera really stands out in that list as someone we've got to sign. And maybe also sign another contract for David De Gea soon as well. They extended it by a year, but there's big talks of will he stay or will he go? Will he go? Right, we're going to have a little break, and then coming back after the break, we'll preview the game on the weekend, and we'll also talk about some of the favourite players we're watching at the moment under Ole and the future for Sir Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Access Manchester.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Manchester Football Social, the final section of the full-time Devils Takeover. Thank you very much for listening. And make sure you download the podcast as well if you've missed any of it. You can just head to wherever you get your podcast from, search Manchester United Football Social, and we'll be up here having a chat with you guys, gents, in the studio. I've got Webby. Hello, Webby.
Hello, Jonas.
Jay, you're up for the final part of the show where we just talk about the weekend. The weekend's game, Manchester United. Could it be 100% another win for Ole? I mean, Jay, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
The run is continued. It's gone past its first test.
Yeah.
The games coming up for United until they face Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
How many do you see us winning? And how many do you think might become, or what games you might see us being the first loss or draw for Ole's men?
This, again, I mean, I'm not just trying to be controversial or silly here, but this is a tough test this weekend.
Yes.
Now, people have been very sort of dismissive of Brighton.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Brighton have beaten us, what, twice out of four games?
Yeah.
Right, I know it's a different manager, but it's easy when you've got a point to prove. When everyone's got a point to prove and you're playing the lesser teams, so-called lesser teams, and everyone's up for it. But when you keep winning, sometimes, we've seen it under Fergie, complacency comes in a little bit. You take your foot off the pedal. Yeah, no. It's only Brighton. We've just beat Spurs. We've won six games on the trot. No. Everything's rosy. Brighton, Chris Hughton, good manager. You dig deep. they're set up to stifle you. You get a little bit frustrated and you end up coming unstuck. Yes. It can happen. Yeah. So I think you've just got to, I know it's a cliche and apologies for saying it, you've just got to focus on the next game. Don't, because especially if you're going into Brighton thinking about Paris Saint-Germain.
Or Arsenal.
You can't do that. You can't do that in this league. You have to focus. But let's not forget, we were going into Crystal Palace thinking about Spurs, we were going into Southampton thinking about City and all the rest of it, and we drew or we got beat. You know, yeah. We went to Huddersfield thinking it's a formality and lost. So we have to go in there. You have to go into each game and focus on that game, and that's why I think you can't just take it for granted that it's going to be 7 out of 7. It's a doddle, and then we'll kick on and we go. You know, we worry about the big games. Focus on Brighton because that is a game that could be a tough one. And I think if United go out and play the way they've been playing recently, we'll tear Brighton apart. But if you start getting a bit complacent and start thinking too far ahead, you come unstuck. And we've seen it all too many times this season. And let's not forget now, we're in a position where fourth place, which seemed unimaginable a month ago, could happen. So we can't be dropping points at home to Brighton. So we need to focus on that.
Sorry, some breaking news from my dad, who's just said, something me, what is this guy on about? Matter better than Sylvie. My dad is not happy. Swap me for Delph and they would have won 100 points.
There you go, you see. He's backing my point.
Not even rattled. You've rattled everyone with them comments. Let's move on with it. Old Trafford. A lot of talk about the atmosphere, a lot of talk about United's fans. Really up for it now. Ollie's in charge, Ollie's the man. The positivity and the atmosphere in general has really just moved up a level.
Yeah,
you honestly can see that continuing. Cool. And being that 12th man, Old Trafford was.
See, we spoke about it on the show the other day. Teams had come to Old Trafford under Fergie and we'd beaten the tunnel. You know, when the crowd was up. You know, and the league games under Solskjaer, the noise has been on a different level. You know what I mean? And the crowd have appreciated who's in charge now. What the club means to him, you know, and it's got everyone up, it's got everyone smiling, it's got everyone singing. Even a Salstan was singing. We had nearly fell off. They've not sung since Fergie's game against Swansea. You know, even they was up ripping into the away fans. It was great to see, you know, and long may it continue, and I expect another good atmosphere on Saturday's game versus Brighton.
Yeah. So we've got the sort of layout of Manchester United, his attack. He loves the pace of Lingard and Martial and Rashford. He can stick with them, but he's been messing about with the different formations and the different players. Lukaku came on at the end of the game against Tottenham. Now, I'm pointing out, I didn't see anything in Lukaku at Tottenham that made me think he's going to start, or potentially he's going to start in the next couple of games. I don't believe Lukaku's ready at the minute. Sanchez, we don't know if he's going to be fit or not for the weekend, but are you happy with them three going forward, that they are the future attacking options for United till the end of the season anyway?
Absolutely. And I think for me, Sanchez fits into that, if one of them's out, easier than Lukaku does.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Sanchez had a bit of a nightmare. You know, it's not all of a sudden he's amazing. He's not. He's had a bit of a shocker. But I can see him being a better fit if any of them three get injured.
Can interchange, can't he? The three lads were interchanging on Sunday at White Hart Lane at Wembley. And Sanchez can do that left, right, or through the middle, you know. And like I said to before, Jay said, so impressed with Lingard, you know. And I never thought, I've not been one of his biggest fans. That's my own personal opinion. That's what it's about. But I've been really impressed so much more since Ollie took over, you know. And if people having a go at him on social media, do what he wants to me if he performs like that.
Yeah,
on the
I'm
pitch.
Not bothered about that myself. You know,
fair play to him, you know. He's living our dream and he's playing the dream at the moment as long as it continue.
It's funny with Lukaku, isn't it? Because he's actually scored a few goals since Ollie came in. He's scored a few goals this season. But the question marks that we have around him about his touch, about the runs that he makes, doesn't look to me confident.
Closing down, you know, playing that high-press game. It was sucking air out of China. Not even on the pitch 10 minutes. You know, like he should be on the door with me. You know, forget about playing number 9 for United. You know, and I just don't think it fits into that system with the pace which Ollie's playing at the moment. But like you're saying, he'll come on. And he's nicked the odd goal, but I expected more of him at Tottenham, like closing down. And at one point there, he was just walking, Jane, and looked, he'd be on the pitch 9 minutes.
It's not good as well because people are looking at Rashford, who runs his socks off, who absolutely and sprints a lot of the time as well. Let's not forget, he's not just jogging, he's sprinting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Lukaku, like you say, he's come home 10 minutes ago, and you want him to close down, you want him to stifle the attacks before they get going, and he wasn't doing that. And I don't know if that's because he just didn't have that, I don't know, intelligence, for want of a better word.
Definitely.
or if he was conserving his energy or whatever, or didn't think he needed to do it, or if he just couldn't be bothered. I'd struggle to believe it's a lack of effort with Lukaku. I just think with him, it's just confidence. To me, he just doesn't look like a player who believes he's good enough. That's the part of the problem.
Could you see him being there next season if we got a decent offer? Would sell whoever the manager was.
What would be a decent offer for you, Webby?
I want my dough back.
Do you want 75 mil?
I don't think that'll happen.
No. I think if you got 50 mil, I think the club would
probably take it.
Yeah. I just don't know. I hope he turns it around, because I feel a bit sorry for him. But he just looks so bereft of confidence in him.
I just think it's
almost painful to watch at times.
Lukaku's a better player when he's playing with an out-and-out winger like Morales at Everton. Yeah. How many goals did he set up for him?
Yeah.
You know, beating a full-back whipping across him, which don't really happen at United. You know, it's the way we don't play. But like saying, Jay, from his first season, obviously, he looked more mobile for me in his first season.
I think he's better when he's getting a ball sort of played to run onto.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of balls where he's expected to hold it up, maybe run down the channels and things like that. And it's a bit embarrassing at times as well. We've all seen the memes, and you can do that on any player. You can highlight the poor touches and make a joke out of it. But with him, it's almost every game there's a bit of he drops a few clangers, and it's I feel for the lad, I do, because we want to see him succeed. And he sort of flattered to deceive a little bit in his first season. He scored not an amazing amount of goals, but a decent amount of goals.
To keep the pressure off him, didn't it?
But this season, he hasn't kicked in at all, and there's question marks about his weight, of his temperament, all the rest of it. So I think it might come to the point where a move is better for everyone, including him.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, who knows? So 50 million could be that kind of mark that makes United want to sell him. We look at the back four, or however Ollie wants to put it out. Baye is reportedly back fit for the game on the weekend.
Oh, he's back from suspension, isn't
he? Back from suspension. Would you... anyone's injured at the minute. Would you put him into the squad?
No, into the squad, but obviously, like you're saying, I never thought I'd say this, but Jones did fine at Wembley, and I think if you play alongside the Iceman...
Yeah, Lindelof did really well.
How much has he come on, you know?
I know.
And it's frank, because I always thought that he had it, but obviously we were playing with a duck egg next to him most of the times, which made him look... It was playing with not someone...
Oh, Lindelof was?
Lindelof. Playing with someone, and it was changing all the time, and obviously his mistake at Huddersfield, and he probably listened to the press slaughtering him, but at the moment, it's got to be Lindelof and someone else.
I'd put Baye back in.
You would?
I would, especially if it's Brighton. I would. I mean, that was the most ridiculous sending off thing anyone's ever... I don't know what he was doing
4-1,
there.
4-1. We're winning 4-1 in the middle of the park.
Craziness to go and do that. But I think Baye's a good defender. I do. I think he's... I still think he's got a lot to learn. You can see the inexperiences there, and he rushes in and he's a bit rash at times. But physically, he's amazing. He's very quick. He's strong. Yeah. And I think... he is a good defender. I think the best to get the best out of him is try that partnership. I think that could be a partnership for the future, Lindelof and Baye. And that could be one that next season is good enough for a title challenge. So,
don't you think we bring someone in to go with Lindelof?
More than likely we'll do. Yeah. We'll wait and see what happens. I'm not holding my breath. We'll wait and see. You don't know what United do. Yeah. All the rumours are that we're in for a few defenders, so we'll wait and see. You know, there might be some that we were in for this season that are out of contracts and seeing Alderweireld or whoever, but I don't know. Yeah.
We're coming to the end of the show, where we'll get your final word in a second. But predictions for the game against Brighton, and then obviously you've got the game against Arsenal, which we'll preview next week on the Full Time Devils Takeover. Brighton is going to be a straightforward win. Prediction?
I think it'll be difficult. We've just got to huff and puff and just take our time. But like Jay said before, Brighton will set up and they'll make it hard. They've got a very good manager in Chris Houghton, you know, who was a decent fullback in his time, and we've struggled down there at Brighton, and it will be a tough game, but I fancy us to win 3-1.
Yeah, no, I like I said, I think nothing's a given. I think as long as we don't go into this game with a bit of complacency, I think we'll be too strong for him. So I think it'll be a bit of a solid performance rather than a spectacular one. I'll go for 2-0.
Webby, what is your final word? Thank you very much, Jay, for coming
in. Final word tonight is any board member of Manchester United Football Club listening to this, just look at the display last Sunday at Wembley. Get that kid signed up. If he wants half of Manchester, give him half of Manchester. Totally deserves it. If we lose that goalkeeper, I said it'll be the biggest signing of the season, and it's still not been done. So let's get him signed, and whatever he wants, give it him. He deserves it. Good night.
This is Excess Manchester.
You follow them from the stands. You follow them on the telly. You follow them in the pub. And now you can follow United here.
Play my flash briefing.
All the latest Manchester United news is now available as a daily update via your Amazon smart speaker. Just search Manchester Football Social in store now to get the latest news from Old Trafford whenever you want it, without even lifting a finger.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.